Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Kermit Baker, a Harvard economist that studies both the commercial and residential construction markets. Kermit, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Kemp. Thank you very much.
The AIA index came out in April, and it was below 50, 48.8. I took a look at the different regions. Looks like the Northeast drug it down. Northeast was somewhere around, I think, 43 or so. So talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, it was a surprising number. You know, we knew the first quarter was going to be weak. We're kind of hoping and anticipating that we'd see the upturn begin in April. But as you suggested, you know, Northeast was very weak. Midwest was basically flat. So we weren't seeing any growth there. And then on the sectors, we're seeing some modest weakness on the residential market. That's a bit of a concern, too. So, you know, we're seeing this uneven recovery continue, particularly uneven in the construction sector of our economy. So it's a struggle to get moving again here.
Mm-hmm. So the South was 55.8, the West was 52.9, Midwest was right at 50. So is this weather related or what?
I'm hoping. You know, the weather up in the Northeast had certainly turned around by April, but I'm hoping this is just a sign that things got so stalled during the first quarter that they couldn't quite get on track again in April. We'll find out, you know, in a few weeks when we get the May number, whether that turned around. I'm certainly hopeful and optimistic that it will, but it continues to be a struggle to get this sector moving.
Well, Floor Focus just did an analysis to compare the commercial flooring market in 14 versus 13, and our research shows that the market is up 4.7%. So, you know, we're seeing growth in flooring, and hopefully, I know you're way out there, you're a leading indicator, so hopefully your indicator is not seeing something that we haven't felt yet.
No, I don't think so. I mean, as you suggest, sort of flooring is one of the last pieces to go into a non-residential building, and so it tends to be late. You know, one positive sign in this mix of sort of recently negative numbers is the institutional sector. I'm guessing that's, you know, most of your listeners will sort of lump that in with commercial, but that sector has been quite weak until the last 9 to 12 months on the design side, and it's really turned around very strongly. We're talking about schools, hospitals, government facilities, and things like that use a lot of product. They're a big piece of the market, tend to be late in the cycle. But once they get on track, they tend to stay that way for a while. It's less volatile than the traditional commercial market or the residential market. So if we've got some momentum behind the institutional sector, that's certainly a very encouraging sign.
Well, let's shift to the residential market. You also do some analysis with the Joint Center for Housing Studies. If you go to their website today, you'll see a young lady is given a report that shows that household ownerships right now is at 63.7%, which is the lowest level since 1993. So that's part of the problem, isn't it?
That's a big part of the problem, and I think it really has to do with this millennial generation trying to get its sea legs and get into the housing market. Obviously, that was the generation that was hurt the most by the downturn in the economy. It's a group that's had very much difficulty finding employment, paying down student loan, you know, affording rents and things like that. So that's depressed their ability to form households. Those that have formed households have largely rented, just very difficult for them to buy. And it's delayed family formations to having children. And so kind of less interest in buying in the suburbs if you're single or a married and childless couple. So just very much delayed and sort of, you know, getting on with their lives, I think.
You know, I just interviewed David Crow, the chief economist with the NAHB, and he tracks household formations by quarter. That's probably a government number, but he said that in the last two quarters that household formations have almost spiked. They're way up. Are you seeing that data?
Yeah, that's government data, Kemp. It tends to be quite volatile, so they were kind of lower than most people thought they were for a while reported and now sort of catching up. I mean, we think we should be in a range of somewhere around 1.2 million net household formations a year, and they've been running sort of 500, 600, 700,000 really for the last 4 or 5 years, and they're finally beginning to pick up again. These are, you know, kind of children moving out of their parents' home and renting units and things like that that is creating these numbers, and it's a sign that progress is finally being made, that there is some movement, particularly among younger households, to, you know, get out and get engaged in the housing market.
I guess one advantage of this slow recovery is that it may be a while before we see another dip, right?
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, we haven't even seen the Federal Reserve begin to raise interest rates yet. So we would certainly hope that we're seeing just a slow recovery unfolding here that will last a bit longer. I mean, we get spooked every so often, like we did recently when we see a negative GDP number. We saw one in the first quarter of last year. We saw another one in the first quarter of this year. And every time you see a negative GDP number, it gets people nervous about a recession. But I think it's pretty clear that was just weather slowing things down. And we're still got a long ways to go before this economic cycle begins to fade.
Well, here we are in early June. If we're going to see a real burst of housing construction, housing turnover, now's a good time for that to happen. Summer's usually when people move based on schools and jobs and things like that. So, you know, 14 housing really disappointed us. We were looking for something in the neighborhood of 20-some percent and saw something in the neighborhood of 3%. What do you think we're going to see in 15?
Well, again, when the year started, people were calling for 15, 20% gains, and we're not on that pace. You know, we're kind of 5, 6% through the first 4 months of this year overall. A little stronger on the single family side. That's encouraging, closer to 9, 10%. You know, what seems to have stalled, at least temporarily, is multifamily construction. That's essentially flat from the same period in 2014. I think that may be an encouraging sign, though. I mean, I think a lot of people were renting not so much because they wanted to rent, but because they really couldn't afford to buy. That was just so difficult to get a mortgage that they were renting and waiting for things to catch up a little bit. So now that we're seeing that swing over to the single family side, I think it's a healthy sign. I'm guessing if we see 10% growth this year, 2015, we'll be lucky. So we're still well below where we should be. We had a good solid number for April. Hopefully we'll get a few more. Home sales are beginning to pick up again, so I think there's some indications that the market's beginning to perk up, but we had a very slow first quarter.
And the long range is that 16 and 17 will continue to be upward growth?
I think we're going to get up to, you know, somewhere in the 1.6 to 1.7 million new housing starts a year before we get through this cycle. I think that suggests that we've got at least another couple of years of growth before we see things level off again.
All right, Kermit, it's great to get a read from your analysis. I know this is what you focus on. Again, I've been talking to Kermit Baker, an economist with Harvard, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.